And you're tuned, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. You are listening to The Morning Show, I think is the best, most accurate name of it. My name is Jim Freund. I am normally host and producer of Hour of the Wolf, which is heard on this radio station on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m., where I have resided, well, not on Saturday mornings, but from 5 to 7 a.m. for now. 28 years. And with me is the interim station manager of WBAI while we are in the midst of making news here, I guess. Oh, and there was one thing I wanted to say before I turn it over, and this is a quote from another staff member, and this person said simply, you know, it wouldn't be a crisis if they didn't call it a crisis. That's my word of wisdom for the morning.
Well, I quite agree. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Eutrice. I wasn't expecting that last hour there.
Oh, that's fine.
I was expecting...
No, that's good. That's good.
Something different.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good.
But it shows the discourse that we have here, doesn't it?
It does, and it shows a number of things as well. Some good and some kind of disheartening. But the idea is, in this alleged crisis, and since... my very short tenure, the one thing I have decided that we should do is air views, you know, let people say what they have to say. At some point, as adults and as responsible adults and as responsible journalists and so forth, we will come to the conclusion, one would hope the logical conclusion, that we ought to get on with good radio. And, you know, just cease and desist the listener abuse. But for the moment, this is quintessential WBAI.
Oh, God, isn't it?
And I'm doing it, I think the whole idea is that we should have something to compare the new WBAI to. So this is the old WBAI.
Yeah, and it is, and in so many ways, and I guess this is one of the reasons why you asked me to be here in the mornings, is that, one person on Friday night when I came in and the rumors that we were all being locked out were rampant, one particular longtime producer here at WBAI said, Jim, does this all seem familiar to you? And the answer is yes, in some ways, but not in the way that person meant. The ways are the dynamics of the politics. Because what's really going on here, is, in my humble opinion, is that we are looking at internal struggles which, by the nature of who we are, get broadcast. And not, I am not sure whether or not we are, the ideology of who we are is in fact at risk. One of the things I'd like to do one of these mornings is read quotes from Chairman Liu, the actual forming articles on the theory of listener
radio. Oh, they're quite instructive. I wonder how many people have revisited the words of Lou Hill.
Yeah, and let me mention, they are, if you'd like to read it in advance, you can find it at www.
All shameless self-promotion.
Absolutely. ourwolf.com.
Yes, that's H-O-U-R.
HOURWOLF.com/listenersponsored.html. And, it's also on the KPFA website.
Yeah. Well, gee, it's been an interesting number of days, and I just wanted people to know that in the coming days, with you as our morning voice, I must say I like your voice, whether it appears late night, early morning, or real somewhat later in the morning.
Well, thank you.
And I always like your program because it is a very intellectually stimulating one. And the refreshing thing is you happen to know what you're talking about.
Sometimes.
Or you fake it real good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I should kind of get down to business in a way and let people know that we are here. The station continues, though in rather frenetic form. And still we are held together. I've received a number of calls, and people have come by all weekend long. I spent all weekend here, and the reactions have been overwhelmingly positive. And programmers are concerned, of course, as to what will happen. And one of the reasons that I stayed here all weekend long is to assure each and everyone coming through the door to do their programs that things will continue. I should start by saying that I am distressed at the circumstances. I had described myself as a dissenter and a person not agreeing with the way things were developing simply on the basis of logic and as opposed to emotional catharsis, and also on the basis of what I think would be method. When all is said and done, no matter how this situation we are in is characterized, I think the depressing thing to me is that essentially we are having, in as much as it is affecting particular individuals, in the first instance, these are personnel issues. And I have a particular feeling about personnel issues, even though, you know, in some cases I have myself been a victim of personnel practices. But I really believe that if we as adults and as professional people, and I expect us to behave that way, that we recognize the need to basically keep all struggle, all fights. This is not a struggle, in my view. This is a fight. This is a brawl.
Very good distinction.
A struggle requires a consensus building. A struggle requires an effort to bridge communication gaps. A struggle requires protracted effort at examination, self-examination, to find out where we are amiss and where we need to go. A struggle requires planning for the entity, but a fight is a whole different thing. When you want to do a brawl, it's a whole different thing. But on a particular level, Jim, I just think that whenever, or if we believe truly that we are sovereign, if that's the word we have used, or independent, or that we have our own ways of dealing with things, it then becomes completely illogical to me. I sound like Mr. Spock, but it is completely illogical in my mind that all of whatever exists is in the public domain. I mean, for my own dignity's sake, let's say something happened to me that I did not like, that I read as a personnel issue. I would be, for my own dignity's sake, for my own sense of privacy, for my own, for propriety's sake, I would try my best, no matter how angry I am on the inside, but I would try my best to contain it and keep it on the inside. But I think what has happened and what is happening is proof positive of the very thing that I've been criticizing, and that is the total failure of internal mechanisms to self-govern and resolve issues in here. Now, the exportation of an internal matter, the putting it out on the outside, is to some, a great tactic because it harkens back to the days when blah, 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 you know, fight, team, fight, go, team, go, let's, you know, find the enemy. But in this case, in my view, the enemy is us in the first instance. I've maintained that the greatest threat to WBAI is internal. Internal in the sense that our internal operations are not operating properly, that we have tolerated the complete breakdown, or the almost complete breakdown, of internal systems of self-governance, and that we have yielded, really, the capacity to solve our own problems in the name of sensational exportation, which, in fact, invites attack. It invites interference. It invites intervention. And on another level, if indeed we had within WBAI the kind of rapport that we should have with each other, the kind of camaraderie and collegiality, there is no way that this, whatever this is, and in coming days, a number of people will be here to explain what this is. If we really had faith in our capacity to solve our own problems, there would be no need to inflict these matters on an unsuspecting and innocent public, which I think, by the way, has been harmed and has been insulted and has been harangued by a constant barrage of what seems to me to be a matter that should remain internal. That's my view. So, and that is, I mean, taking all the other things into perspective, all the things that have been done, I mean, sharp lines have been drawn, and cussing and dehumanizing and
name calling
and behavior unbecoming a human being. All these things have come out, along with a great deal of misinformation, a great deal of distortion, and a great deal of contradiction, actually. The whole idea...
Passions are high.
Well, that's the thing, but this is one of the things that we need to pause and do. We are the communicators of information, and I think we...
That is our mission.
...substantially have failed the test, because it is clear that among ourselves, and this has been my constant criticism, the communication mechanisms internally are not working. And the fact that something, no matter how grievous, should first be appreciated in its many distorted forms in a public arena, to me, is shameful. I just personally feel affronted by it. For myself, if something had happened to me, you know, and things have, rather distasteful personnel things have happened, not only at the station, but in my life, but I have never spoken about them in public and used it as a campaign to vilify, to condemn, to do anything like that. I think it is a sign also of maturity that you get a lump, you take your lump, and you try your best, if you believe indeed that you have the support of your comrades and your colleagues, if indeed there is a forum internally that can cope with these difficulties that arise in every organization from time to time, if indeed there is an atmosphere of mutual respect and faith in our capacity and in our skills as professional people and as colleagues to self-govern, then I don't understand why we are having a public and a disgraceful public brawl.
You will hear, and this is talking from my experience through 77, that there are a lot of listeners who want to participate, some of them nonstop. Mm-hmm. Anytime, I mean, 5 years ago, anytime you tune into the station, there are those listeners who call up, and that's all they want to discuss.
Yeah.
I still get letters from John Stanley about the 1977 putsch, in his words. and yet... I think and after the 77 crisis, we went through at least a year
mm-hmm.
of talking about it on the air almost exclusively. It is arguable which side won, what happened, was it an uneasy truce, or whatever that is. But all that aside, there is little question that we lost a great deal of listenership from, I think that the listeners want and deserve a certain amount of awareness from the management and staff of WBAI in terms of reports.
Sure.
I also think they don't want it 24 hours a day or 24 hours a month.
This is the thing. We assume what the listeners
want. And it harms the station a great deal.
Of course it harms the station. And that has been my argument. If indeed we are grown people with a capacity to think and reason, if we are the professionals we say we are, why is it, I mean, the fact that this exists in the public arena at all is the greatest proof yet that we are not what we say we are. And yet,
on the other side, the fact that we have heard, all that we have heard this morning is the proof that there is access and that nobody, or I should say that the people you have heard certainly have not been shut down.
That's correct.
Although, I must, if I may ask, what is the status? We're here, we obviously people have been hearing that there have been changes at the station.
Yes.
So in your official capacity, what is the official, first question. We heard in the previous program about a selective lockout.
You see, words like that bother me because, again, we are...
And I should mention, by the way, I wiggled my fingers for quotes over selective lockout. This would not be... I have had no issues or problems. My understanding is, my experience was anybody on the air came in on the air. There were some people over the weekend who apparently, honestly wanted to do some production.
Oh, yes, they were here.
And some who did not have immediate access.
Right.
So, But this is obviously not an ongoing issue. Is that correct?
No. What is happening is, of course, as a result of the way things have developed, and they've mushroomed quite a bit, and, with it, again, in my view, an unfortunate byproduct of it, are threats to do harm to the station, to smash equipment, to do that kind of stuff. And it is understandable that we are operating in a heightened state of security to the extent that we can use that phrase, meaning that we wish to preserve what we have. We wish to not have the premises damaged. We wish to not have confrontations. And so access to the station is being regulated, not denied, but regulated. As it is
my experience, by the way, one thing I forgot to mention earlier on the earlier program was that people who were not on the list,
yes,
generally the security people downstairs called up here,
yes,
and asked whether those people could be
yes,
allowed in. And for the most part, I mean, I saw people coming up that,
sure,
were not on the air at that moment. The people who I saw were not denied access.
Not at all. We have not denied access. But in this state, let me explain where we are right now. And I really would like, I'm going to, in the next couple of days, I'm actually your guest. But at some point, and I'm really glad that I could hear your voice in the morning. But we will be, a lot of work has to be done. I'm a trained group worker. among other things, and I understand that in the immediate aftermath of any major so-called crisis...
Let's use the word trauma.
Trauma. Any major trauma. People are sometimes both at their best and at their worst, and sometimes together. Oh, you want to do an ID?
On WBAI New York.
Good.
Oh, and let me mention that it's 8:31. It has been a long time since I've done drive time.
Well, the thing is that in any major trauma, people will react sometimes with, reason, but mostly irrationally, absolutely with great passion and intense feeling and all of these other things that are hard to manage. These expressions, these feelings need room to be expressed. I do not envision myself as having enemies. I envision myself as having differences of opinion with people at the station. We have differences of opinion. Some people envision themselves as having, sides or factions or, this personal animosity and so forth. And all of this, in fact, has been part of the character of the station, which I want to change. We are all working at a station. It doesn't require long-term romance and that we must, be madly in love with each other. But there will be an atmosphere of mutual respect. There will be a recognition that you are dedicated to your work as I am dedicated to my work. And together we have to forge a method where, irrespective of what we feel, we are clear that we are here to perform a task for which we volunteer or for which we get paid, but for which we are absolutely dedicated. In your case, for a zillion years.
Yeah. Of course, part of the problem is going to be that by the very nature, the people who are attracted to this kind of place will have a certain kind of an ego to begin with.
Yes, but...
And will live within the cult of personality.
That's too bad. And that will change. And we are no... This is not about personalities or cults.
I dare say that the programs we do are,
That's fantastic.
Our personality shows.
That's great. And I love that.
And I'm saying that...
What I'm talking about...
Cult of personality is also an asset when you're doing live radio and...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Being a producer.
But that's what brings...
But it's a double-edged sword.
No, but the personality is what drives a program. People tune in to... Because they connect with a personality. And that's fine. And that's the way it ought to be. But I'm talking about...
And that's also why when personnel changes occur...
Yeah.
It seems like, major, major... things afoot.
But the thing is that I think there have been irresponsible and unprofessional action. That's the thing that bothers me. Irrespective of the gravity of the situation, that notwithstanding, I believe just the same that as rational, logical, thinking, professional people, what I have seen as reaction and treatment of a development is completely unacceptable to me and very distressing. And it betrays all the claims, in my view, to professional conduct or even just human conduct. I just don't understand.
Well, isn't that some of it just politics and using the tools of broadcasting and media at the disposal of...
First of all, we would differ
reporters.
On these things. No, we would differ on these things because, again, I have maintained, I really have maintained, that our greatest threat is internal.
Absolutely.
I have also maintained that this opportunity presents itself... For those who are serious and committed, and for those who wish another path, that the opportunity exists at this moment to do the thing that we most desperately have needed to do for a long time, which is self-examination. In all of this, in all of the call to arms, in all of the, let's go get 'em, no one really has yet examined to me, a critical and basic question, which is where, if you're truly revolutionary, where you start. And that is to ask the simple question, to what degree am I, or have I, or have I not contributed to the problem? Is there anything I might have done that might have precipitated the problem? And to what degree am I responsible for the mushrooming of what essentially should remain, and still is, in my view, an internal matter? There is, I believe, that to so-called come to the air and tell the listeners is an arrogant assumption of, and a distortion of, our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to intrude on people's lives, to tell them our individual miseries. Our responsibility is to do exceptionally good radio. And our responsibility is to find methods and ways to connect with each other so that no matter what the problem, no matter how loud we have to scream in a soundproof room, that we do that kind of work ourselves. The seeding of this very vital and fundamental function to me, to others, is to take the illogical position that you neglect to do your business, you neglect to do your homework. You have given the teacher the authority to grade you, and then you're upset with the grade. I just don't get it. So I will be explaining in greater detail as we go. Today, for example, is we will be gathering. And the station in the next couple of weeks will be in think tank mode, introspection mode, reconstruction mode. We have torn ourselves apart. No one has torn us apart. We have done it ourselves. We have abrogated our professional responsibility ourselves. We have created much of this crisis ourselves. We have abrogated the right of self-governance. We have done this ourselves. And we have proven to those who are in charge of governing us that we have limited capacity to govern ourselves. We have taken the path not of collective consciousness raising, and we have abrogated the whole idea of struggle. And we instead cling to the specious notion of wanting to fight. I have never liked a brawl or a fight. I've always been a person involved in struggle. And this is not a struggle. I mean, this is not a fight. This is a struggle. And the struggle is to reconstitute who and what we are internally. It has been a struggle long postponed. It has been a struggle absolutely necessary. And we still continue, even now, to avoid it.
My personal opinion is that this is a continuation of the struggle that came about in 1977, the first fight of this struggle emanated in 1977, and that it was never really settled in many ways. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, I think we're still getting the ripple effects going through all these people who weren't even around but are still being moved by those currents that continue to ripple mm-hmm. here within the dynamics of the station itself.
Which is why I thought you would be the perfect person because you know what has happened. You are intimately involved. I mean, you are a great authority on the timeline, recent timeline of the station and its developments. And I think, in fact, I would like to ask you a question. Do you really believe that, I mean, as we exist today, and you are great as a point of reference to give us, you know, to do comparative analysis.
Or at least my opinion.
Do you see our current situation as a struggle or a fight?
I see what's going on as fighting, because listening to your definitions, and I'm not saying that that's what it should be.
Right.
But I see I perceive those as the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
I perceive that people of conflicting opinions, differing opinions, are trying to not even convince others necessarily through intellectual or even rhetorical uses, but rather through political pressures, and worse.
Yeah.
That to me is not fair. That is not the premise under which we band together, we artists, teachers, or reporters.
We are behaving, in fact, quite unlike what we claim. And...
or what our ideal...
or
situation is.
Our alleged ideal situation.
One thing that I wanted to ask you directly, because we've been talking on very general terms, I think that we need to get to very specific terms, is that we have had actual personnel changes within the station. And it has been mentioned with various kinds of spin what those changes are. We know that there has been a change in, by the fact that you are here as interim station manager, we know that there's a change in the station manager. Everybody who tunes in at this time is aware that Bernard White, who's usually here, isn't here.
Yeah.
So we should just say, what are the status of such people at this time? They have been fired.
They've been terminated by the executive director of Pacifica, Bessie Wash.
In each case, all three,
yes.
Of the...
Yes, all three.
Okay, we're done by Bessie Wash.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because I heard conflicting things.
Well, this is what I mean. I am hoping to take it nice and slow, and because I really believe that... First of all, I really hate the idea that we are even dealing with, again, internal matters... no matter how grave, no matter how discomforting, but they're internal matters. But I don't like the idea of having to deal with it in public.
And of course, the other side of that is that, for better or worse, we're looking at what was a front page of the Metro section, yeah. News story
again,
of Saturday's New York Times.
It was the front page Metro section of the New York Times, because the New York Times was invited in here in what should have been a staff meeting.
Uh-huh.
And again, this is a self-inflicted wound, and we continue to engage in this kind of conduct that suggests that we are not interested first in doing the necessary work of self-examination. When you have a staff meeting, and first, before you even give the dignity and respect to your colleagues, to apprise them of what the situation is, to invite their advice and counsel, but you fire off salvos all over the place. In effect, you take it upon yourself or yourselves to declare a war single-handedly that now embroils all of us. We have to examine who has the right to do that. Who has the right to embroil us all in something that is individually based. even if it has other implications, larger implications, these are very serious procedural questions, and they relate to the essential point that I'm making, and that is, it is proof that in some people, the mindset is, I do not need advice. I do not need counsel. I do not need to think about the repercussions that will befall all of my colleagues when I take a singular action. And therefore, with this out of control, the media, you know, there's this hysteria and the intent, despite advice to the contrary, in, you know, to this knee-jerk reaction, I am being harmed, therefore everybody must be involved. It seems to me that if that is to happen, that too involves a process, that too involves a procedure. You cannot be arrogant enough, it seems to me, to presume that an attack, if there is such a thing, that anything that involves you as an individual gives you automatic right to declare a war, and to declare a war in which troops are expected, if they know what is good, to show up and man the ramparts. I just
don't. And in the meantime, the station and listeners are held hostage.
The station and the listeners are held hostage to what essentially I maintain it is a serious development, but it still is a personnel issue. It still is. We are very clear, because we are thinking people, that everything has repercussions, including reckless conduct, unthinking action, and singular motives, and so forth. These are things we have to examine. How does the conduct of any one of us impact all of us? How does the action of any one of us imperil all of us?
Well, don't you believe that some of these people are acting out of an ideological point of view?
Fine. I think so. And they're entitled to do that. But to usurp the goodwill of people, to assume an automatic right to do so, is arrogance beyond belief, I think. And it speaks to an egocentricity that requires treatment. I think that we're talking here about a sensible, and I'm not even asking for revolutionary thought and action. I'm saying that on the basis, this is a human level, and on the basis of professional conduct, on the basis of the consciousness that one is part of a whole, and on the basis that if indeed there is a recognition that much more is required of us all in the way and the standard of conduct that we practice and hold to, then it is mandatory that we behave differently. And this situation that we're in is a direct outgrowth of the failure, or perhaps the conscious decision, an ill-advised conscious decision, to so corrupt what I think to be logical, sequential, methodical behavior that is what appalls me in this whole thing. There is no tragedy, in my view, that we can't cope with. The greatest tragedy that we have suffered, the greatest tragedies that we have suffered, I should say, in the last year or two, have been the loss of our program director, Samori Marksman, and the loss of our colleagues, people like John Harris and others who have left us. And we are diminished by their absence. These were tremendous tragedies, and yet we coped with them. Because, why? Because the tragedies were recognized as such, that you were recognizing, as mature, responsible people do, that the first order of business is to come together and to find out how we can work with each other. And that was a responsible and mature and professional way to respond to that kind of a trauma. This is not that kind of action. It does not smell like it. It does not feel like it. And it is, in my view, exceedingly harmful. It is exceedingly harmful, and it puts us all at risk. It puts the station at risk. It is an imposition on the lives of our listeners who deserve to have a faith in us that we know what the hell we're doing. And who deserve...
And that we're concerned about them.
That's correct.
Because that's the job that we're actually...
That's correct. This is like, in my view, where we are now is not unlike living in a household where you have two drunks. And, you know, the children are caught between the pathological behaviors of the two people who say they are heads of, who say that I see you're drinking your industrial strength soft drink coffee. This is how we are behaving, and we really need to examine that.
If Robert Knight acts up today, we'll blame it on the coffee. I fed him a whole bunch of this.
You gave Robert Knight your coffee.
That's like Coles to Newcastle, but it's the same thing with me, yeah.
But I think this is...
Yeah, my first personal attack of the morning.
Thank you. This is a kind of conduct we must stop, because it is harmful, especially to us, the people who are here, who are expected, and who in many cases are being paid to not do this. We're paid to not do this. And it is my hope that some sanity will emerge somewhere along the line. But let me tell you where we are. In the ensuing days, we will be doing a lot of thinking. A number of people are going to be coming in and out of the station. They're forming cells of thought and assessment. In a number of areas, we need to find out where we are.
And when you say they, you mean we.
Yes, of course. I mean, saying the people coming in.
Yeah, I mean, because the greatest, are these people from outside?
No, it's us.
Yeah,
the work is all internal.
Right, because I just want to be very clear on this.
The work is all internal.
The great fear for a whole lot of people has been that people would come from outside and impose all kinds of change.
Hold it. Excuse me.
Robert Knight, on a point of personal privilege, I actually drink coffee to calm down.
Oh, Lord. So, anyway.
No, Mike, well, in that case, my coffee did not serve you.
Well, the thing is that we are going to be spending the next several days and weeks even in introspective mode. We have to improve the way we operate with each other. We have to re-examine what we understand to be our professional calling and our professional duties, and what we are expected to do in the name of good radio here on Pacifica's WBAI to continue, in fact, that tradition of Lou Hill. I'm so delighted, Jim, to be with you. We've had great conversations. And
probably nobody will find me sitting on both sides, nor could sit on both sides of the face here. Because the fact of the matter is I form my opinions by paying attention.
Yeah.
And my opinions change, people find, over the years. You know?
As they should, and when one gets access to information that enlightens, you change your opinion.
Yeah, and as years go by, yeah. I mean, the 77th
only an
crisis,
idiot has the
example,
same
was 23 years
only ago. An idiot has an opinion for forever, the same opinion. But again, I want to thank you for coming in and serving this wonderful purpose of facilitator.
Thank you. That is what I see myself as.
Yes.
I want to be a facilitator, and I don't even want to be a position person.
No, you can't.
Although some people will already... have determined that I am being traitorous and climbing up people's rears and stuff like that. in which case I challenge the question, then why did I go through the previous hour? You know, and yeah. But being a facilitator and using what I consider to be my vision, which is, of course, the one true vision of WBAI.
I thought the harbor had come in.
Let me just mention, by the way, that was from the arts department of WBA.
Ah, sabotage.
No. I think it was a mantra.
I'm saying that.
Actually, I think
is that a mantra?
It was a musical. You have your dad.
Okay. Amy was there before. At any rate, it's about time for us to get off.
Yes.
But I wanted to venture one quick opinion.
Sure.
Everybody has their one thing. The trouble with WBAI, and yeah. I'm only half satirical on this, the physical plant.
What?
When we were at the church, everybody worked in a communal space. Then we moved into offices, and people were a little further apart. And then more offices were built, and the communications were even less. I have always blamed, thumping the desk, the physical plant for all of our troubles.
Well, I wish I could say that, but I don't.
It's only slightly satirical, but we don't have the time to go into that this morning because we do have to allow Matthew the opportunity to get in.
To set up for Democracy Now! Again, we are hoping that very soon all of this vitriol and whatnot will come to an end. But in the meantime, the emphasis, I'm saying, by all of us should be on producing good, serious, vitriol-free radio. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Utrice. This is WBAI in New York City. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!